I wanted to discuss the Indian of Parsha Zachar as it relates to Maseches Brachos. And we're doing Brachos this month, and I wanted to do something related to Purim. So Brachos has in two places, two Gemaras that relate to the Indian of Parsha Zachar being a Deraisa and the level of the Chiyuv, whether it needs to be read B'tzibur, B'yachid. So let's begin with the Rambam for a second. The Rambam says the Mitzvah Parsha Zachar, in number one here, it says, V'chein Mitzvah Asi La'abi Zecher Amalek. Is there a requirement to destroy to any memory of Amalek? And he quotes a pasuk, "Shenemar Timcha Zecha Amalek." Umitzis Asay Lizchor Tamin Ma'isav Haram Ha'Arivaso, and always remember the bad things they did to us. Kedei Laora Evaso, the reason why we remember it, it gets us angry, gets us upset. Shenemar Zachar Asher Asalach Amalek Mipi Ashmu. We learn from this certain Masorah Lamdo Zachar Bepeh. There's a requirement to say bepeh, to articulate, to remember Hashem's name, in order rather to remember Amalek, in order to never forget. So according to the Rambam, by me saying the psukim of Parsha Zachar, I'm yotze. There's no need for Kriyas HaTorah. There's no need for any tzibur. Simply by reciting bepeh, one is yotze the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar. That's the Rambam Shita. But we look at the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel Aleph. The Gemara says, number two. Let's learn this inside together. Tanu Rabbanan. Kriyat Shema Kichsava. Completely different topic, and we'll relate to Parsha Zachar in just a moment. Person is allowed to say Shema only the way it's written, only in Hebrew, the Kichsava, the way it's written, Divrei Rebbe. Chachamim Omrim B'chol Lashon, you're allowed to say Shema in any language you understand. You could say it in English if you want, according to the Chachamim. Rebbe says only in Hebrew. So my time with the Rebbe, what's the machlokas? Why does Rebbe say only in Hebrew is it allowed? Because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'hayu has to be the way it's written, only V'hayu, and you can't change from that. V'havyasun Yehu has to be the way it was written, only in Lashon HaKodesh. Because V'hayu says Rebbe, therefore only Hebrew works. Come along, the Rabbanan and Mai Tamai, why did the Rabbanan allow any language to work for Shema? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Shema, B'chol Lashon Sh'ata Shema, any language that you could hear, any language that you could understand, you're Yotze. So we understand English, so English would work also. If you understand Spanish, that would work. If you understand French, that would work.
Is that a quote, B'chol Lashon?
It's a quote, it's a Gemara. The Pasuk is Shema, and he understands Shema means any language that you understand.
What was his source?
That's his understanding of the Pasuk Shema. Shema means to hear, to understand, any language that you understand. That's his.
Going by the
Shema. So Gemara says, L'Rebbe, Nami Haksiv Shema, doesn't also say Shema. So the Gemara says, so if Rebbe says only Lashon HaKodesh works, so how does he interpret the word Shema that you hear? So he says, Hahumi Barley, that's needed. Hishamei Lasnecha, you should make it heard to your own ears, Ma Sha'ata Motzi Mipicha, to articulate out loud that you hear the words that you're saying. It means not to understand any language that you understand, but you have to physically hear the sounds coming out of your mouth, but it has to be only Lashon HaKodesh according to Rebbe. Now, according to the Rabbanan, so they hold the word Shema comes to say that any language you understand. So how do they know you're supposed to say it out loud? Savri luhu kimand amar lo hishmiya lazno. They hold that if you don't hear the words, you're yotze. You don't actually have to say it out loud. So the Gemara says, okay. Ulu Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, nami haksiv v'hayu. So they say you could say any language. So what do they do with the word v'hayu? V'hayu means has to be as is. Sounds like only Lashon HaKodesh. But they say you could use any language. So what do they do with the word v'hayu? Hahomi b'ayle shelo yikare l'mefraya. You cannot read Shema out of order. The psukim have to be recited in the order that they're written. Fine. Rebbe, I just want to finish the whole piece here. Rebbe shelo yikare l'mefraya minale. How does he know you can't read out of order? So nafgalei meidvarm hadvarim. There's an extra letter hey. It should say dvarm. It says hadvarm. That hey tells us has to be the way they are in the order that they're written. And Rabbanan say, Dvarim ha-dvarim lo darshi. They think the extra hey, there's no need for a drasha, that doesn't deserve a drasha. Fine. So that's the conversation, that's the debate. So Gemara wants to make the following conclusion. L'meimra, this is to suggest, the Sava Rebbe, Rebbe hold, D'chol ha-Torah kula b'chol lasha nemra, that the entire Torah is said in any language. Because D'is ha-gadaitach b'lashon ha-kodesh nemra. If Rebbe holds in general, every Kriyas Torah, the Parsha, has to be read in Hebrew, So too Shema also would have to be no different than any other Parsha. Why does it have to specify V'hayu in Shema? If that's how we generally hold, that the entire Torah is Lashon HaKodesh, why say V'hayu in Shema? Because Rachman Alamali, why does it say V'hayu in Shema? So he says, no, it must be Itzreich Mishum Dik Siv Shema. So understand as follows. the fact that Rebbe says Vahayu teaches me that Shema has to be in Hebrew, that implies that the rest of the Torah has to be in Chol Lashon, can be in Chol Lashon. And he says, no, not true. It's possible that he holds also in general, the entire Torah also has to be Lashon HaKodesh. You would have thought maybe, that maybe Shema is different. Maybe Shema can be said in any language because it says the word Shema. Like Rabbanan says, Shema means any language you understand. So therefore, Vahayu had to come to neutralize that and say, no, also Shema can only be Vahayu, also Shema can only be in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, no need to go any further right now. So the idea is, when we say that the entire Torah should be read B'Lashon HaKodesh, or in any language, what does that mean? If I were to ask you, the entire Torah can be said in Chol Lashon or Lashon HaKodesh. Does that refer to the way I learn? What's that referring to? Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos? So if you look at Tosos, Tosos says, Tosos number 3, there's the exact Gemara we just read from Brachos also appears in Maseches Megill and Daf Yud Zayin. So Tosos quotes Rashi there.
The question is, how do we learn or read the actual Torah then?
Exactly. So I'm asking, when else would you read the Torah? So it says Tosos, quoting from Rashi, this is source number 3, Perish Rashi b'perek sheni de Megillah, l'kros b'Torah. What it means is, when you read Torah, when you do Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, when you read it, there's a machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanan, and also, can I read it in any language, or does it have to be Hebrew only? That's what Rashi says it's referring to. When I do Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. So says Tosos, that doesn't make sense to me. V'lo ni'ihara, that's not very clear to me. Deha Ezra tiken Kriyas HaTorah, Ezra, who came after the Torah was given, he was the one who instituted to recite, to lay in Parsha every Shabbos, every Monday, every Thursday. So, what did you understand before he came along? What did Vahayu come to teach us? There was no such reading of the Torah before Ezra came along. So Ezra came later in history. It doesn't make sense that the Torah would be making a drasha to help explain a takana that Ezra will make a few hundred years later.
It was a reading every 2 years, no? It was a reading.
According to one opinion, but not that. But either way, the institution came, this creation only came during the times of Ezra. Before that, it didn't exist. So it's hard to say that the Pasuk was anticipating it. Obviously, the Torah knows everything. But there wouldn't be a drasha that only makes sense when Ezra would come a few hundred years later. So therefore, Tosafot says it can't be referring to Kriyas HaTorah on a regular Shabbos. That's what it means, that it has to be done B'Lashon HaKodesh only. Says Tosafot, you know what this refers to? Yeshlomar the Mari be Parshios Hamchuyavim Lakros Deraisa Kimo Parsha Zachar. Says Tosos, it's referring to those few Parshios that there's a din deraisa to read. This coming Shabbos we have Parshas Pekudei. There is no mitzvah deraisa to read Parshas Pekudei. Last week was Parshas Vayakel, Parshas Shkalim. There is no mitzvah deraisa to read any of those Parshios. So according to that, you can read any way you want. What the Gemara here is referring to those few Parshios, such as Parshas Zachar, where there's a chiv and a mitzvah deraisa to read Parsha Zachar. Then it's saying, Rabbanan said you can read Parsha Zachar and fulfill your chiyuv deraisa in any language that you want. And Rebbe says that it has to be only in Lashon HaKodesh. So that's what it's referring to, that there's a mitzvah deraisa Parsha Zachar. To read it from the Torah. Remember, before the Rambam said, all you have to do is say bepet. You have to just say the words. You and I individually can say the words. According to Tosos, it has to be Kriyas HaTorah, has to be from the Sefer Torah. That's Tosos' Shita. Now, interesting here that Tosos writes,
it's coming to teach us because it didn't come to teach us something else. It's coming to teach us for these Parshios.
Exactly. Now, Tosos says something interesting. He says, Parshios. There are multiple Parshios. He only gives us one example, Parsha Zachar. What are the other examples? So, the Mefarshim explain Rashi. Tosos refers to also Parshas Para. We'll get to Parshas Para would also be a Din Deraisa. So, Parsha Zachar is a Deraisa from the Torah, and perhaps Parshas Para as well. So now let's take this to the next step. So Rambam says there's a mitzvah deraisa of Zachar. Tosa says it has to be from the Sefer Torah. Let's look at one more Gemara in Brachos, which takes it to the next level now. The Gemara in Brachos, look inside number 4. Interesting Gemara that appears in Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar B'Yishub Ben Levi. The Gemara there is talking about different ways to accomplish a minion. Who counts for a minion? So we know 10 men, of course, count for a minion. So what about a 9 and a child? 9 men and a chumash? So the Gemara here says, what about Tisha ve'eved mitstarfin? You have 9 men and 1 eved, that actually qualifies for minin. An eved kanani, not an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Jew. An Eved Kanani, if I own a non-Jew as a slave, he would count as a tenth minion. And we do know that an Eved Kanani is chayiv in certain mitzvos. He's chayiv in any mitzvos that a woman's chayiv in, an Eved Kanani's chayiv in as well. So he's partially a Jew already, not a full-fledged Jew, but he counts as a tenth person according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Gemara asks a question based on a certain Maisiveh. Maisa b'Rabbi Eliezer. One time there was a story with Rabbi Eliezer. Shenichnas lebeis haKnesses. He entered into the shul. V'lo matza asara. And there were not 10 people. There was not a minion. There were only 9 people. What did he do? He had his eved along with him, serving him. V'shichrer avdo. He freed his slave. Now, when you free an eved Kanani, he turns into a full fledged Jew. The moment you free him, he's a full fledged Jew now. So he freed his eved. V'shlimu lasara. They had 10 people. So that made the minion. His Eved Kanani that turned into a Jew now made the minion.
So he didn't agree with the other opinion.
Exactly. So Gemara asks, what do you mean? Only because Shechar in, only because he freed him that he's a full-fledged Jew does it count towards the minion. But lo Shechar lo. But if he didn't free him, it wouldn't work. But then we just say you could have the Eved Kanani being the 10th guy. Why did he have to free him? Yeah. Gemara says, no, there's actually Trey Itzarichu. They really needed 2 guys. They had 2 of Adam with him. They had 8 men, 8 Jews, and 2 of Adam. Shechar chad nafik b'chad. So one of the guys, and it was a lucky day, so one of the Eved Kananim became free. So now they have 9 full-fledged Jews, and then the 10th one was the Eved Kanani. That was the Maisa. So Gemara says, v'heichi Eved Hachi. How did Reb Blazer free his Eved? There's a pasuk that says, Amar Rav Yehuda, kol ha-mishachar avdo, anyone who frees his Eved Kanani is over ba'aseh. He violates an Isser deraisa. Shenemar dila'olam behem ta'avodu, the pasuk says, that you have to li'olam forever, in eternally, behem ta'avodu, them you have to enslave. When you own an Eved Kanani, you have to forever enslave them. And if you don't enslave them, meaning you free them, you violate the Isser Aseh, the positive commandment of having to enslave them. So how was Rabbi Eliezer able to free such an Eved Kanani? It's an Isser deraisa of freeing your Eved Kanani. Gemara says, "L'davar mitzvah shiny." When it comes to a purpose of a mitzvah, the mitzvah in this case of the minion, it's mitzvah. It's different. Gemara says, "What do you mean a mitzvah baba avera? You're violating an avera of freeing your slave to accomplish a mitzvah at the end. Could I steal your lulav to get the mitzvah? No. Could I steal your matzah to eat the matzah? No. That's a mitzvah baba avera. So I can't violate an iser to accomplish a mitzvah." The Gemara says, "Mitzvah." That's exactly it. Very good. The minions only their bottom.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great point. Rush is going to ask this question. So Gemara says mitzvah derabim shiny. When it comes to a big mitzvah derabim, that's different. But you're still saying minions only their bottom. So Rush will get to that point in a second.
Because it's for the rabbim, it benefits so many people.
So many people. Exactly. Rabbim is more. So if it's a regular yachid, I need the Eved Kanani to help me with a personal mitzvah, whatever the example might be, that would be awesome. Since it's helping the Rabbim, forgetting the Rabbanan right now, but just it's a mitzvah of the Rabbim of a minion of people davening together, I'm allowed to. Now, there are a lot of questions on this Gemara, not for now, but what we want is, still, the freeing of the Eved is a mitzvah, is an Isser D'Araisa, and the minion is only a mitzvah D'Rabbanan, so how could I violate the Isser D'Araisa to accomplish a mitzvah D'Rabbanan? So the Rosh asks this question. So he says, a fascinating concept, he says, even the mitzvah of a minion somehow is a deraisa. You have to understand that. Again, I'm not going to minion right now, but I'm just going to quote the pasuk. It says, "V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." V'nikdash, I will be sanctified within b'nei Yisrael. That's a pasuk in the Torah. That davening in a minion is mekayim kiddush Hashem, and kiddush Hashem is this generic mitzvah. You're mekayim kiddush Hashem by davening in a minion. So even minion has a certain aspect of deraisa. Maybe another topic, whether it really is deraisa, whether it's not deraisa, fine. But then in doing so, he says, maybe you could suggest that we're talking about Parsha Zachar, and that you need a minion for Parsha Zachar.
Oh, gosh.
So he says, it's unlikely to say they're referring to such a specific case. But he seems to agree that Parsha Zachar requires a minion on a deraisa level.
Wow.
So that's the build-up. Rambam says, Madaraisa, all you need to do is say the words. The Torah says you have to read the words from a Sefer Torah, not necessarily a minion. The Rambam, the Rush, based on this Gemara, says you actually need a minion with the Sefer Torah to mekayim the mitzvah of Parsha Zach. Okay.
Hinging upon the run of the rabbi's question.
So, exactly.
If Parsha Zach went to Purim, you would think maybe that the halakhah of Purim should fall out the same as the halakhah of Parsha Zach.
In which way?
Whatever it is in terms of reading the Gemara.
So it's interesting. I'm not sure which detail you're talking about, but yesterday in the last night we did the Gemara, we're doing a daf a day, a daf a night in Maseches Megillah. So last night we learned inside that there's a connection of how do you know that the Megillah has to be read in a sefer. Maybe it could be read al peh, by heart. If a guy knows Mikra Megillah, he knows Esther by heart, he could read it by heart. So Gemara says the connection of Malik to Esther. Just like the Pasuk says, Amalek has to be Basefer in a Sefer Torah, so to Megillah has to be from a Sefer, from the Mikra, from the Megillah itself. Exactly. Seems to be there's some level of parallel between the two. Very good. So now, in light of this connection you're mentioning between the Mikra Megillah and Parsha Zachar, the Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen was one of the later Rishonim. He's oftentimes quoted by the Ramah. And he has a Shilas and Shuvos. Now, usually Shilas and Shuvos, someone else asks the question to the Rav, and the Rav answers back. The Trumas HaDeshen asked himself these own questions, and he answered them to himself. So the question that he had raised to himself, this is number 6. He wanted to know, let's say a person lived in a yeshuva of some sort. There was no minyan. He lived in a village somewhere without a minyan. And they wanted to go to the big cities, to the big shuls, and to chap a minyan for the days of Purim. But they can't go all the time, because it's a bit of a travel time. They have to work and make money. So is it better to go to hear Megillah in the Tzibur? Or is it better to go for Parsha Zachor the week before? Yet they can only go once, take off. They have limited amounts of days off. Better to have Parsha Zachor in a minute, or better to get Mikra Megillah in a minute? So the Trumas HaDeshen says...
Good question.
Very good question. Right? He knew what he was talking about. So the Trumas HaDeshen says, even though the Gemara tells us in general, Mikra Megillah trumps everything. The Gemara says, if I'm learning, I need to stop learning to go listen to the Megillah. Right. If I'm doing a... The Gemara Megillah says that, Daf Gimel. If, let's say, I'm doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash and it's time for Megillah, I need to put down the Avodah and go listen to the Megillah.
Okay.
The Megillah trumps pretty much everything. I think except Mace Mitzvah would be the only thing it doesn't trump. I don't remember. Mikra Megillah trumps pretty much everything.
Because the Gemara in Megillah says so?
Exactly. So now you would think, so too, Mikra Megillah should be able to trump Parsha Zachar.
Which is a derisive.
He says no. Not true. Based on the Rush says that Parsha Zachar has to be B'tzibur. Mikra Megillah does not have to be B'tzibur. Yes, I have to Mekai the Mitzvah, but I can read it at home, Mikra Megillah. So based on this rush, that Parsha Zachar has to be done, Dafka B'tzibur, that's the deraisa, better to go to the city to listen to Parsha Zachar B'tzibur and read it at home, Mikra Megillah B'yachad. Ah, I'll be losing out, B'rov Am Hajjaz Melech. When it comes to Megillah, it's better to have a larger minyan. Okay, let's say that again. That's a hither. So I miss out on that hither, fine. But I'm still going to be Yotze, the Mitzvah Megillah. So better to go to the city to hear Parsha Zachar, B'tziv. So you look at number 7 now. This is page number 2. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Simen Tafresh Pehe. He says, Yesh Omrim She Parsha Zachar.
Just a second. 6 was proof that we need a minion.
The proof was an application. That Zachar is greater than the Tzibur of Zachar is greater than the Tzibur of Megillah. So the Ramas, the Shulchan Aruch rather writes, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, She Parsha Zachar, U Parsha Para Aduma, Chayavim Likram Midaraisa. Some say, not all, but we saw a lot of people who say, that Zachar and Nada'a Para are Midaraisa requirements. And Lefichach, he therefore quotes this Trumas HaDeshen, that B'nei HaYeshuvim, those people who live in these small villages, She'ein Lahem Minin, who don't have a Minin, Tzrichim Lavo Lamakom, She'esh Minin, they should go to a place that has a minyan. B'shabasos halalu k'day l'shma parshios elu shei medraisa.
How do we say these things were deraisa? I thought these parshas came about because of the holiday of Purim, which would make it the rabbanan.
Parshas Zachar did not come about because
no,
of...
No, the second one. Not the
Megillah.
You just said parshas para.
Parshas para.
Yeah.
Right, so,
I thought that came about
right.
Because of the countdown to Purim.
No. It's part of Dalai Lama.
Yeah, exactly.
Purim, correct, exactly.
It's a commandment.
Yes.
So which ones are commandments? There's 4, no?
Yeah, there are 4. But well, let's not get involved in that right now.
But these
two are derisive. Yeah. Some, everyone says Zachar and some say Paradumis.
Oh. Some
okay. So then the Rama writes, if a person, for whatever reason, cannot make it to Shul for Parsha Zachar. So then, if E.F. Sharlavo, he can't go to shul, mikomakom yizharu likrosam benigasam v'tamam. He should at least read them at home with the proper trup and the proper pronunciation in order to make time the best way. Because we said the different levels are, the best is to hear B'tzibur. You can't read B'tzibur if you have your own personal Sefer Torah, read from a Sefer Torah without a Tzibur. And if you don't have that, you could read by yourself, like the Rambam says, you could just say, B'peh, Yoyote as well. So
this
those are different levels. Is the Parsha Zachar, exactly.
Which is a disagreement with the one that says it has to be with the Tzibur.
Exactly. So now the Taz writes, now if we're assuming that it's a Din D'oraisa, who's allowed to get the Aliyah? normally, we paskin generally that a katan doesn't get an aliyah, but a katan is allowed to get maftir. He can't get more than the 7 aliyahs, but maftir he's allowed to. Now, most shuls don't practice that, but I remember growing up, there's a shul I didn't go to, but there was a shul that oftentimes would give to a katan to get maftir. It's brought down the halacha. So in light of this, since Parsha Zachar is not a regular maftir, it's a din d'oraisa, you're mekayim the mitzvah, the Taz writes that a katan should not get the aliyah of maftir, because even though the Baal Kori is the one who's reading the words, I'm being able to listen to the Baal Kori, I'm not listening, the katan's not saying it, he's quietly saying to himself, he's supposed to, as the aliyah, you're supposed to quietly say the words along, but I'm not listening to him, I'm being yoted by listening to the Baal Kori. So even though the Sheikh Tibur, the Baal Kori, is the one saying the words, still the one who gets the aliyah has to be a bar chiyuva, has to be of age. He has to be over the age of 13. Because he also does read to say the Torah. The only reason why the Sheikh Tibur, the Baal Kori, reads it is not to embarrass the guy who doesn't know the laning. Now all of us don't know laning. So it used to be that they used to know the laning. But once in a while, a guy was called up and didn't know the laning, so they didn't want to embarrass that such a guy. So they said the Baal Kori should always read just to protect everyone's embarrassment. But we still advise the guy to get the aliyah to slowly, to quietly recite. But it's really the aliyah who's really giving us the, fulfilling our requirement. So therefore, katan should not get an aliyah for Parsha Zachar. That's what the Taz says. But then he quotes his father-in-law, who we oftentimes quote, the Morichami. Morichami is referring to my father-in-law. That's a reference to the Bach, the Bach's parish on the Torah. He quotes his father-in-law and oftentimes argues with his father-in-law. He says, not true. He says, a katan who knows how to say a bracha, and who knows who he's saying a bracha to, a katan who's a little bit more knowledgeable, intelligent, he actually is able to get the aliyah, he argues. And he says even further, even a katan who doesn't know who he's saying a bracha to, can also, because you know why? No. We're Yosei Parsha Zachar through the Baal Kore, not through the guy getting the aliyah, he doesn't say anything for us to hear. So who cares how old the guy? The guy just says the bracha, who really cares?
Back to the other argument.
Exactly, so one opinion says only a gadol gets it, the other opinion, the Bach, says even a katan could get it because the katan plays no role. And the Taz concludes he has a pshara, he has a compromise. He says if the katan knows who he's saying a bracha to, that means his bracha is important. So that type of katan could get the aliyah. But if it's a katan who's underage, who does not know who he's saying a bracha to, then he's not allowed to say the bracha. He's not allowed to get the aliyah. No shul would do that. We're just talking in theory whether you'd be allowed to or not. That's all. Again, you're allowed to. According to some opinions, you're allowed to. But I imagine most shuls don't, and probably be machmir just to be safe. But we're talking about, in theory, whether one would be able to. But we see that this is a very important nafkamina. If you assume Parsha Zachar is a din d'oraisa, this is going to reflect itself, whether you could give the katan the aliyah or not. And also, again, the side point that comes out is, how big of a role does the guy who gets the aliyah play? So according to some, he plays absolutely no role. Just says the bracha, but the Baal Kori is really the ikker one. And the other opinion thinks that the katan plays a very, very crucial, essential role here, and therefore it would have tremendous nafkamina. Now the Magen Avraham talks about the situation of a person, apparently when he lived, nowadays it's very different, but apparently when he lived, and where he lived.
The connection between the last thing we did and the previous thing.
The fact that we assume the Parsha Zachar is a din d'oraisa, that's going to dictate to us whether or not a katan could get an aliyah or not. Regularly, a katan is allowed to get the maftir.
We're questioning whether Zachar is deraisa.
We're assuming that Zachar is deraisa. The fact that it's a deraisa are going to have a number of nafkamina, some ramifications. One of them being is that you cannot, even though in general I can give maftir to a katan, Zachar I may not give to a katan because it's a deraisa level. Now, the Magen Avraham talks about a situation when and where he lived, apparently. They were not so makbid on Parsha Zachar. He didn't understand why not. The Din D'oraisa, Kriyas HaTorah, Bitzibur. Why would they not be makbid on Parsha Zachar? So he suggests
that on having it to say with the Tzibur.
Yeah, people were not being careful. People were not being careful to go listen to the Parsha Zachar.
At all.
Exactly.
Mean that they were saying it on their own?
I'm not sure. They were not careful, he says. Unclear what exactly they were or were not doing. They just were not careful on this for some reason.
On the Tzibur.
Right.
They may have been careful on Yachid.
Right.
We don't know.
So the Magen Avraham writes, in order to explain the minhag why they were not makbid, is perhaps because maybe they rely on what's read per morning, a different Parsha, Vayavo Amalek. We read Vayavo, there's Parsha Zachar, which is what we read on Parsha Zachar. Zachar is Amalek. But there's also another Parsha called Vayavo Amalek, which is 9 psukim, which we read on Purim morning, which describes a little bit about a Malik. And everybody comes to shul Purim morning, and they listen to the Megillah, listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. So he says, perhaps through that, that's how they're being Yotzei Amalek by the, again, there are two parshios of Amalek in the Torah. There's Parsha Zachar, and there's Parsha Vayavo Amalek. So reading Vayavo Amalek in Purim morning, they're Yotzei the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar. That's what he suggests. And therefore, some say, have in mind, when you read Purim morning, just in case the guy messed up with Parsha Zachar, have in mind to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Amalek in the reading Purim morning. So the Mishnah Berurah takes issue with this. He says, you're not really going to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar by reading Vayavo Amalek, because there are many psukim, many descriptions that are mentioned in Parsha Zachar, which are not mentioned in Parsha Vayavo Amalek. Vayavo Amalek is an abridged version of the whole story of Amalek. It talks about what they did, Asher Karcha Baderech, that they cooled us off along the way, and they attacked us from behind, and there's a mitzvah to be Timchas Amalek and Tureis Amalek, and not to forget them ever. All these things, which are not mentioned in Parsha Vayavo Amalek, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah advises one should not rely on this Magen Avraham at all. Again, the Magen Avraham was trying to just justify why they were not makbid on Parsha Zachar. So that was the justification. But moving forward, says the Mishnah Berurah, one should certainly not be so careful, should be careful to pay attention to Parsha Zachar. Now the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere, this is number 11, those who are following on page number 3, source 11, he talks about a situation, we should never know of this. But let's say a person is thrown in jail, and too often we have Jews who are thrown into jail. So halacha is, are you allowed to bring them a Sefer Torah? So Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Kuf Lamed Hei. It should be on the other side of the page. It's in the back of the page if you didn't get it. He writes that Bnei Adam Shechafushim Bebeis Hasurim, people who are in jail, Ein Mevim Etzlam Sefer Torah, you cannot bring them a Sefer Torah, Afilu Barash Shana Vim HaKippurim. Even though great days like the Yom Nara'im, a person's not able to bring them a Sefer Torah. V'hainu Davka B'Shas Kri Levad. That's mean you can't bring them back and forth. When time for laning, you bring the Sefer Torah in and then bring it back out. Because the Sefer Torah always needs a house. Has to have a set place. Aval im machin, you cannot do it. Aval im machinim lo Sefer Torah yom or yomayim kodim mutter. If you prepare a place a day or two beforehand, you're allowed. I mean, again, not our topic, but just to explain. A few years ago, I had made a bris in my parents' house in Teaneck, it was after Hurricane Sandy, so no one had couldn't do it here in the Five Towns. There was no electricity. Our house wasn't livable. So I went to my parents in Teaneck, and they had a generator. So we had it in the house. So we had it, we needed a Sefer Torah. The minion in the shul wasn't functioning because they had no lights either. So we needed to bring a Sefer Torah to my parents' house to have the minion there. So we had to bring the Sefer Torah a few days before Shabbos in order to have an established place. The Sefer Torah is not meant to be just the thing you take here and you take there. It has to be a kavua makom. So you need a day or two where it's in a set place. Now it's considered kavua, and then you could use it properly. So in light of this, you're not allowed to bring a Sefer Torah to a person unless it has a set day there to in that place.
Prison.
To prison, where a person is, but prison is an example, also a person's house would be the same halacha.
Doesn't matter if it's a prison or a house.
Correct, but this is a more likely example.
So you can't use it until it's makom kavua, or can you use it and then keep it kavua after?
You have to have kavua beforehand. Right.
Before it can be used.
Now, if a person did use it without kavua, you still get the mitzvah. It's just inappropriate. It's lack of kavod. To the Sefer Torah. What time is davening? 6:35 or 6:40?
40.
Oh, we have 5 minutes. Okay. So in light of this, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the same halacha applies to a chola. If your person's sick, you also can't bring him a Sefer Torah unless you have prepared a couple days beforehand. But yesh chokim, others argue and say, b'chol zeh kemen danusim heim, one would be allowed. If he's honest, the guy's sick, he has no choice, you can bring him a Sefer Torah. U'beparsha zachar shehu mederaisa bevada yesh lahakel. Since Parsha Zachar is a much more serious mitzvah deraisa, of course, so therefore we're more lenient, and then for a chola, you would be allowed to bring it, and perhaps also for a person in jail, unclear what he's referring to a jail, but certainly by a chola, he says one can be mekel to bring it to mimakai in the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar. Now he says also perhaps it's a possibility for Parsha Par as well, since there's a machlokas, whether it's a deraisa or derbanan, maybe it could be lenient for him as well to bring a sefer Torah to mimakai in the mitzvah of Parsha Par. Okay, now...
What's the mitzvah of Parshas Parah? To read it or to hear it?
To listen to it. Now, we have only 4 minutes, but let's just get in quickly the mitzvah for women. The women have a mitzvah of hearing Parshas Zachar. So, Minchas Chinuch writes that women are patur from the mitzvah of Parshas Zachar. It's a mitzvah asay, she has mangrama, seemingly, but then they really say it's not a mitzvah asay, she has mangrama. Just because we read it on the Shabbos doesn't mean it's you can read it any time during the year. So it's not really, it's a non-time-bound mitzvah. And women are chayiv in all mitzvahs aseh, she'en hazman grama, so seemingly women would be chayiv in the mitzvah parsha zachar. So he ends up writing a fascinating idea. The Minchas Chinuch says, since women, the idea of parshas Amalek, parshas Zachar, is to remember Amalek, and that is then to get us all angry to defeat them and fight them. So Gemara tells us that only women, only men are considered warriors and soldiers, not women. So since it's not the derech, it's not proper for women to fight, so there's no need for them to do parshas Zachar either, because parshas Zachar is only a way to get us to the point of fighting. Now that's a whole different topic, though.
If they're schooled properly in the
they would give us I don't see that as a proof to make them chai. We never find that anywhere. They put their mitzvahs all over the place, even though they're always meant to encourage us.
I have a better one. It's a twofold, to remember and not to forget. And somebody told me there's different meanings of what the two things are, but somebody told me that not to forget was that the only reason why bad things happen to the Jewish people is because we did something to deserve it.
Okay.
So one of the reasons that we have to remember it, comes from the language of remember and don't forget, is because we shouldn't forget that we did something to deserve this, which is also important for the women.
Right.
So you could lose that.
The point is that he's saying, since the idea of remembering Amalek is in order to get to a point of destroying Amalek,
I hear you.
So therefore, since they're not chayv in the destruction in the Milchama, so therefore, they're
trying to give you a reason otherwise.
So anyway, that's interesting. There's a whole tshuva we don't have time for right now, which discusses this, which argues and says women are actually chayv in mitzvos.
For different
and that's
reasons.
Right, exactly. That's because even women are also chayv in war. That the Mishnah tells us in Sota that when it comes to Mechavis Mitzvah, even a Kala B'chupasa would also be Chayiv in fighting the war. Another discussion. Either way, we'll stop here. Mir Hashem will pick up next week with continuing in Maseches Brachos.
Definitely two major holidays where the women played a huge role with chopping off.